How many of you would like to hear from the Word of God this morning? Amen. Let's just say a quick word of prayer. Lord, we ask that you would speak to us. Lord, we ask that you would open our understanding, open our eyes to see, open our ears to hear, open our hearts to receive and respond to your word, Lord. May your word be a lamp to our feet and a light unto our path. May you enlighten us, Lord, as we go through this journey called life, that we would have the tools, that we would have the resources necessary to be able to live a life that is fulfilling, successful, and pleasing to you. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, the book of Romans, chapter 12, verse 1 and 2, and says, "And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way that you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect." I love those first two words there. And so. That means there was something that was said prior that's important. If we look at the three chapters prior to that, 9, 10, and 11, we see a story that is sad, and yet at the same time, it's powerful. And the story is that the Jews, which were God's chosen people, the children of Israel, who were God's chosen people, rejected their Messiah. They rejected Jesus. And as a result, there was a way that was made. There was a way that was made. The Bible said that we were grafted in. The Apostle Paul said, those who were not a people, he has called his people. Those who were not his own, he has made his own. Because the children of Israel went through this place as a nation, because they rejected Messiah, we have been given an opportunity. There was an opportunity for us to be grafted in to the vine, to the olive tree, as the Apostle Paul explains it. That means that you and I have been connected to the source of life. We have been given the opportunity to worship him, to love him, to call him Father. Before that, if the children of Israel, think about this, if the children of Israel had just simply embraced Jesus as their Messiah in that moment, what would have happened? Would redemption, would salvation have been opened up to the world? Or would his people have just been the one that he had received in that moment, and we would have been hopeless and lost? God wanted to save the world. He said, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life through Jesus Christ." It is because of what he did. It is because of the sacrifice that he made. And it's because we have been given an opportunity, because he grafted us into the olive tree, that we are now able to be called children of God, sons and daughters of God. It is because of that. This process where Israel said, "No, we are rejecting God's grace." This process where in Romans chapter 10, verse 9 and 10, we know this by heart. It says, "If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved, because it is with the heart that one believes and it is with the mouth that confession is made." And so here the Apostle Paul was saying that it is a simple process of entering in. It is a simple process of us being grafted in. And then he goes on to say, because we have been grafted in, because we have this opportunity for relationship, this restoration as sons and daughters, let us be careful not to reject the grace of God as the children of Israel did. He says, because if we do, what do you think we will receive as a result? If the children of Israel, God's chosen people, were cut away from that olive tree so that we could be grafted in, do you not think that if we reject the grace and the mercy of God, that he cannot just as easily remove that branch as well? It is to say that the only reason that we have this access, the only reason that you and I can sit in this room today and call ourselves sons and daughters of God is because of his grace, because of his mercy, because we didn't deserve this. We did not deserve to be called his children, and yet he chose us, and he gave us that opportunity. And so the Apostle Paul says, in light of all of that, because of this overwhelming grace that you have been extended, let us renew our minds. Let us give our body as a living sacrifice. It's our reasonable act of worship. You know that the adage, the saying that says, imitation is the greatest form of flattery. Imitation is the greatest form of flattery. We should reflect God in worship. We should reflect the way that he is. We should be like him. That is what the Apostle Paul is calling us to be. It says, give your body to God. Give your body to God. How? How do we do that? By renewing our minds. By renewing our mind. What about the way that we think needs to be changed? What about the way that we think needs to be changed? There's this thing called an orphan mentality. An orphan mentality. When you think as an orphan rather than a son or a daughter, fear is your motivation. Fear controls you. Fear motivates the way that you think. That's why Jesus said, why do you worry about what you're going to eat or what you're going to drink, what you're going to wear? That's what the pagans do. That's what the pagans do. Those are things that are motivating us. That's when we are motivated by fear. We're constantly worried about ourselves. Why is that? Because there is a crisis of identity, an identity crisis within us. We don't know who we are, and so we're constantly fighting because we feel that we are all alone. We feel abandoned. We feel rejected. We feel that no one cares for us or loves us. We feel loneliness. And because of that, we are in a constant state of self-preservation. Self-preservation. If you look at society today, if you look at everything that we have extended to us, it is all about self-preservation. It's all about, what can I get Apple branded amazingly by coming out with the iPod, the iPhone, the iPad, iTunes. What else? They put an I in front of it and it's their brand, right? Why is that such a thing that caught on? Because it was all about me. It was all about, and look, I've got Apple everything, so I'm not here criticizing Apple for what they're doing, but I'm talking to us about a mindset, a mentality, okay? And that is that that we are in this place of this orphan mentality where we are not living as sons and daughters of God. And this is what God said, this is what the Apostle Paul pointed to and said, you have to renew your mind. If you want to live your life in a position of worship, your mind has to be changed. Your mindset has to be renewed. All of the things that I just mentioned, the fear, no identity, abandonment, rejection, loneliness, self-preservation, all of these things are heart conditions. They are heart conditions because the effects reach far beyond the way that we think. Those conditions reach far beyond the way that we think. The conditions strike at the core of who we are. These are not conscious choices that we make. They're not conscious choices. They are core to who we are. Together, they shape our worldview and create the filter or lens through which we interpret life. That sounds tragic, because how do you change your core? How do you change who you are? You can ask any psychologist, psychiatrist, they'll tell you, you can't change who a person is. You can help them to alter behavior patterns, but you can't change who they are. Every interaction that we have passes through the filter of our worldview. Every interaction that we have passes through the filter of our worldview. Our opinions about everything are colored and formed by our prejudices. And what I mean by that is prejudgments. Prejudgments based on past experience. So when I use the word prejudice, prejudgments based on past experience. So I'm going to say it again. Our opinions about everything are colored and formed by our prejudices and our belief system. Our belief system. Those are our core values. So every interaction that we have passes through that filter. Passes through that filter. Even the most learned and mentally disciplined individuals will revert to subconscious behavior when enough pressure is applied. You can be so well, prim and proper, well educated. You can control, I'm in control of what I think and the way that I act and the way that I respond, and I do all of these things. I guarantee you, enough pressure applied and you're going to go back to subconscious behavior patterns. You go back to subconscious behavior patterns. It's called instinct. It's our instinct, right? When our survival mode is activated, we discover who we really are at our core. When our survival mode is activated, we discover who we really are at our core. Who are you really? Right? We like to hide behind our facades. We like to hide behind our education. We call ourselves civilized human beings. I don't even know if those are two words that coexist. When our survival instincts kick in, we find out who we really are. We find out who we really are. The Apostle Paul understood all of this. That is why when he read the book of Romans, he outlined for us these things. What was the first thing that he outlined? He said that we are evil at our core. Humanity at their core is evil. That we're lost, that we're helpless. That was the first thing he said. Then he said, this is how we got there. He tells the story of how the first Adam sinned, how the first Adam fell from grace, how the first Adam was altered at his core. At his core. How did he get altered at his core? The Bible says that they partook of the fruit of the knowledge of what? Good and what? He got altered at his core because he became aware of evil. He was introduced to evil. And that touched the core of who he was. And it permanently changed who he was. So the Apostle Paul outlines that. We are evil at our core. This is how that happened, right? Then he says, this is what Jesus did. He saw that we were helpless. He saw that we were without any ability to change who we were because it touched the core. And he came. He sent Jesus. God sent his son Jesus to come and set us free. To set us free from who we were at our core. And he adopted us as his children. He adopted us as his children. Then he says, here's the struggle. Here's the struggle. We know what's right, but we can't change who we are. We can't change our core belief system. Right? You read the book of Romans chapter 7, it sits there and starts going through this. I know to do good, and I desire to do good, but when I think I'm going to do something good, I wind up doing something bad, right? It goes through that whole process. And it says, this is the law that I have found. When I try to do good, evil is present. Evil is present. At our core, our belief system is flawed. And then he says, God's presence is the only thing that can change us at our core. God's presence is the only thing that can change us at our core. He says that deep cries to deep. Says we don't even know how to pray, right? But deep cries to deep with utterances that cannot be expressed. And he goes on to say who God loved, he justified, he glorified, that they may be called the firstborn among many. Firstborn among many. That is to say that God, through the power of the Holy Spirit, his presence, when it touches the core of who we are, just as when evil touched the core of who we were changed to evil. The Bible says light shines in the darkness. When you flip a light switch on, where does the darkness go? It dissipates. It disappears. And so when God reaches in and touches the core of who we are, our core changes. Our core is forever changed. It's the presence of God that can change our core. But the only way that that can happen is as we surrender ourselves to God through worship. When we surrender ourselves to God through worship, it is the only way for us to be changed at our core. Do you realize what a game changer that is? Do you realize how important worship is? Worship is the one thing that allows God access into the core of who we are and allows him to transform us from the inside out. That is the purpose of worship. That is the power of worship. Because what worship does is it takes and it places us in a right position. It places us in a right mindset. Did you know that when you sing, this fascinates me. When you sing, what you say and what transpires is just bypassing your mind. It's bypassing your conscious. It's going straight to your subconscious. It's hitting straight to your core. Song does that. Did you know that? That music is the avenue to reach straight into your core. I want you to think about it for a minute. I'm going to use this as it's a little bit of a crude example, but I promise I won't get too graphic. If you listen to some of the music out there and what some of these guys are singing in reference to girls and the words that they use in reference to them, And then you see the girls up there, you know, I'm not going to do the dances that they do. And they're dancing to it, and they're singing that about themselves. And I'm sitting there going. But then try to walk up to somebody and say those things to them. What's going to happen? What's going to happen, Rich? You're going to get slapped, right? If you're lucky, that's all that's going to happen. Why is that? It directly bypasses, music directly bypasses our conscious and goes straight to the core of who we are. Don't ask me how. It's just what happens. And so God has worship. God has placed worship as the access point for his presence to enter into the core of who we are and transform us and change us. Worship is the key to Christ-like living. Worship is the key to Christ-like living. It is the key to living free from fear. It is what changes our core because worship connects our heart directly to the heart of the Father. How many of us in this room have struggled? And I'm my hand's up first. How many of us in this room have struggled in the past or to this day with their relationship with their Father? How many of us have never had a relationship with our Father? Come on, be honest. Be honest. I want you to look at the scripture, Malachi chapter 4, verse 6. And he will turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the hearts of the children to their fathers. He will turn the hearts of the fathers to their children, and the hearts of children to their fathers. God wants to heal your heart. God wants to heal your heart. He wants to return your heart to him. He's already turned his heart toward you. You understand that, right? He is the good, good Father. If you ever doubt that, if you ever doubt that, you only have to look at the cross. Put that slide up there. The next slide, Ebony, put that up there. You only have to look at the cross to know that God is a good, good Father and that he loves you. You only have to remember the pain and the suffering that he endured because of the Father's love for you. God so loved that he gave. Do not ever doubt God's love. He is a good Father. He has turned his heart toward you. And he wants to heal your heart. He wants to heal your heart. Isaiah chapter 53, verse 4 and 5 says, surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him. And by his stripes, we are healed. By his stripes, we are healed. The Father wants to heal your heart. The whole reason that Jesus came was to restore us to relationship with the Father. He came to heal our hearts. He came to renew our core, our spirit. That is why Jesus said, you must be born again. You must have at your core a new identity. This requires a heart transplant, a removal of our old nature, our old way or state of being. It requires us taking on the mind of Christ. God replaces our spirit by placing His Spirit within us. He gives us a new core, a new heart, a new mindset, a new identity. How does this happen? 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18. And we all, with unveiled faces, continually seeing as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are progressively being transformed into His image from one degree of glory to even more glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. Can we read that together? Come on, let's read it together. And we all, with unveiled faces, continually seeing as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are progressively being transformed into His image from one degree of glory to even more glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. I want you to find that scripture in your Bible. I want you to underline it. I want you to put highlighter. I want you to mark it, and I want you to memorize that scripture, because that is your life verse. That is your life verse. It is not by might, not by power. It is by the Spirit of God. He is the one that transforms us. He is the one that changes us. But it requires something of us. We have to look with unveiled faces into the glory of the Lord. We have to get into a place, a state, where we are completely open before God. We are not holding anything else back. We're saying, God, here I am. Use me. Look into my heart. Look into my soul. Look into my mind. Come and touch me and transform me at my core, because there is absolutely nothing that I can do to change myself. I need a touch from the Master. I need a transformation of the Father. I need the Holy Spirit inside me, touching me, changing me, transforming me, making me from an orphan to a child. Give the Lord some praise. Come on. Worship equals relationship. Worship equals relationship. Relationship equals worship. Relationship equals worship. You cannot have a relationship without worship. And you cannot worship without relationship. Worship is communion with the Father. Worship is looking into the eyes of love. Listen to this. Worship is looking into the eyes of love and opening your heart fully to Him. It is allowing your Heavenly Father to look deep into your heart and touch the very core of who you are with His love. This is what changes you. This is what changes you. Does it hurt? Sometimes. Is it hard? Sometimes. Will you cry? Yes. Sometimes. Will you laugh? Yes. sometimes? Will you shout or dance? Sometimes. Will you be still and rest? Sometimes. Emotions are part of worship. They are a part of being open and vulnerable before God. We should not try to restrain our emotions when we are connecting with God. They are a part of the process of restoration. Tears cleanse the soul. Tears cleanse the soul. Laughter heals the heart. Laughter heals the heart. Joy strengthens the spirit. Peace brings order to our spirit. Dancing and rejoicing are expressions of our gratitude. Of our gratitude. All of this is the result of the love of God touching the very core of who we are. When we fully open ourselves up to Him in worship, we are transformed into His image. We take on His nature. When His worldview becomes our worldview, everything changes. Everything changes. It's game over for the devil. It is game over for the devil. The enemy has been defeated. God has won. But we must come to believe it. We must come to be transformed. Our mind must be renewed. In closing, I want us to look again at Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all that He has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind that He will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship Him. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way that you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. Because of all that He has done, because of all that He has done, let us turn our hearts toward the Father. Let us surrender ourselves fully to Him. And let Him transform us from the inside out. This is worship. This is worship. This morning we are about to receive communion. But before we do, I want to give opportunity. If there is anyone in this room, everybody, every head bowed, every eye closed. If there is anyone in this room that would say, I don't know Jesus. I don't have a relationship with the Father. I find myself abandoned. I find myself feeling feelings and thoughts of fear and of anxiety. I feel alone. I feel like I'm having to take care of myself and constantly fight for my own. I feel like every day is a battle just to stay alive, just to survive. I want you to know that Jesus came to this earth. He died on a cross and he rose again. He did all of this so that we could be restored to relationship. He did all of this because he wanted us to know that we could be changed by the power of his Spirit. That he could reach into the very core of who we are and touch it with his love. And that in an instant, with just one touch of his love, one by one, the memories, the pain, the fears, the sorrow, one by one, as he reaches out, as we give access and he reaches and touches, the core of who we are is forever changed. And our minds are refreshed, revived, restored, renewed. And we begin to think and act as sons and daughters of God. I want to do two things. If you don't know Jesus and you would like to receive him as Lord of your life this morning, we're just going to say a prayer together. But I want you to raise your hand right where you are. Raise your hand up high and let me know that we can come into agreement. I see that hand. I see that hand. Anyone else? I see that hand. We're going to pray together. But before we do that, I also want to ask, is there anyone in this room that would say, I still struggle? Yes, I know Jesus, but I still struggle with that orphan mentality. I still find myself battling, as it says in Romans chapter 7, between what I know is right and what my actions are, what I actually do. My knee-jerk reaction, my behavior doesn't line up with what I know. And I need the touch of the Father. I need his hand to reach into my core and to bring healing and to bring restoration. I need him to renew my mind. If that is you here this morning, I just want you to slip your hand up. Just hold it high. I see that hand. See that hand. I see those hands all across this building. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. First, we're going to pray for salvation. Then I'm going to pray over you. We're going to come and receive communion. And Pastor Sanford will come forward to do that. And we're going to do it a little bit differently this morning. Rather than us receive it and then all partake together, I want you to take those elements, that juice and that bread. I want you to take the time to just open your heart up to God and say, Lord, I recognize that this is an expression of your love to me. And I'm dedicating myself, I'm committing in this moment to give you access, to come before you in worship. And as I partake of this, I'm doing this as a symbol of my worship to you. And I'm believing that that you will reach into the core of who I am and begin to transform me. Can you believe for that? All right, let's pray. For those who raise their hand to receive salvation, I just want everyone to pray this prayer with me. Dear Jesus, I recognize that I need you. I know that I'm broken, but I know that you can change me. So I place myself before you. I place my life in your hands, and I ask that you would change me, that you would take me, and that you would make me your son, your daughter, that you would change my core. In Jesus' name, I receive you as my Lord and Savior. Amen. Can we give the Lord a praise offering for that? One more prayer together. Actually, I'm going to pray for everyone at the end. Would Pastor Sanford come at this time and minister the communion as we sing this song? The ushers, come forward, please. So as we sing this song, go ahead and receive the elements, and as you feel released, go ahead and partake. If you want to partake as a family or individually, I want you to do that.
Amazing love that welcomes me, the kindness of mercy that bought with blood wholeheartedly my soul undeserving.
It was only hours, and Jesus was going to be crucified. His very skin on his back was going to be ripped from the skeleton, and you would be able to see the muscles, even the glint of his back. Crown of thorns would be placed on his brow, and it'd be beaten until the blood would spurt and then trickle down his forehead, down his back, the nails in his hands and his feet. And he gathered together in celebration of the Passover lamb. He had celebrated that for 35 or so years. His disciples were with him. And he took the bread and he broke it. It was a part of the Passover celebration. Exactly which time it was, we're not really aware. But it was during one of those moments of the Passover, he took bread and he broke it, and he was supposed to raise it up and say, thanks be unto God. Thanks for the staff of life. And instead of saying that, he raised it and he said, this is my body broken for you. And then he took the cup, supposed to talk about it being the fruit of the vine. And instead of doing that, as they were still reeling in shock and dismay, he said, take, this is my blood, a new covenant that I give you. Would you stand, please? And I want us to take, not together, individually. If there's someone here you would like to partner with, if there's someone here you would like to join in their circle, and as we talk about connections, if you'd like to connect with somebody else this morning, you may feel free to do that. If you want to take it as a family, it's perfectly fine. Just don't take it by yourself this morning, all right? Lord, it's your body. It's your blood. And we thank you. May healing, may restoration, may the presence of God touch us from the very tops of our head to the soles of our feet as we become one and in union with you and with one another. In the name of Jesus.
Goodness, your grace, your favor that leads us to repentance. It is what changes the way that we think. It's what changes who we are. So, Father, as we open ourselves up fully to you, as we worship you this morning, I pray that you would reach into the core of who we are, and that your love would touch our hearts, bring healing, bring restoration, bring transformation. May we be reborn from the inside out. And as we walk out from this place, may your love flow from our hearts to everyone around us. We ask these things in the precious name of your Son, Jesus, our Savior and our Lord. Amen and amen. Give the Lord a clap offering of praise. We are so thankful that you were here this morning. What a blessing. What a blessing this morning to be in the presence of God to receive from him. I ask that you would take the time to be sure to share his love with one another. As you leave this place, please do not forget that if you have a youth, if you want to hear the vision of the youth, it'll be a short 15, 20 minutes at the max, right here in the sanctuary, just to this side here. So feel free to take a few minutes to use the restroom, say your greetings, and then for those who are going to stay, please come back to this. If you're a guest in